Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host, a very good friend, is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Married at First Sight UK Season 8, Episodes 9 through to 12. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
Well, Dave, I think Chris Phelps deserves the Bell End of the Week award. I'm taking a hit for the team. Now, I made a sweeping statement that only I can do, Dave, which was that I had a good feeling about Jay and Luke, and obviously we had Tash and Pog, you know, but mainly Jay and Luke. I was like, yeah, they're the ones, and you were like, what about them? And I was like, oh, yeah. And I said, yeah, really good couple, really, you know, I'm pulling for him. You know, they seem genuine. Then I got called out because apparently Luke's been on other reality shows, Dave, so he's completely baffled me because I've not seen him on the ones I usually watch. And then he's been a complete bell end this week for me. And I'm like, well, Chris, sometimes keep your predictions to yourself because you've got your info. So I just felt this week, some of the comments, he's had a go at Laura, he spoke to Laura, he's become very vocal about different things. And he said, all of a sudden, that nice guy persona, for me, just turned on a sixpence, and he'd come across as nasty and quite vindictive at times. And that was such a shock. They've edited it so well, Dave, but this could be Luke's baddie run at the moment, because it just seems like he's really going to let Jay down for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a massive villain arc. We'll get on to a real villain, I'm sure, in a bit. But yeah, I think he just, the kind of persona, the mask was slipping a bit, wasn't it? And he's just got too much to say about everyone else. He's a bit of a gossip, isn't he? And the fact that, I mean, he's, almost all of them have been on something before, haven't they? Like Celebs Go Dating or this, that, and the other. I mean, I've never watched Celebs Go Dating, Chris, but I can only assume it's actual Z-list celebrities date normal people, and these normal people are probably from the talent agencies, and that's where they've got these people from, or a few of these people from MASS as well. So you know, I think it was Laura who'd been on something like that before. Now the thing with saying about Laura calling her a gold digger, I mean, I don't think that's exactly how I'd describe her. Now, you said she was stuck up. Yeah, I can see that. Probably go with that. Might have even said that myself, Chris. However, you know, the gold digger thing implies, like, you know, you're fishing for a man and trying to live off that person. I don't think it's that. You know, she said about, you know, she's expecting a Chelsea boy. She expects kind of the fine wines and, you know, going out to cocktail bars and stuff in and around Chelsea. She's got a particular lifestyle, hasn't she? But I don't think she's a gold digger. However, what I would say is it did make me laugh when she's like, I do not need a man. All my inheritance came from my dad. It's like, oh, fucking look at you then. Self-made woman, obviously. But, you know, so I just think Luke should have just kept his gob shut. But also, when he's called out, just fucking apologize. You know, just say, look, I made a snap judgment. I got to know you a bit better now, but, you know, now that I know you a bit more, and I was definitely right. Oh, no, I was wrong, and so I apologize for that. No, he doubles down and says, well, yeah, it wasn't just me saying it.
Yeah.
No, oh, for fuck's sake. So, yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to see where he goes this week, whether he kind of learns after being called out a bit, or he just carries on just chatting shit about other people in the group.
Maybe it's a deflection tactic, Dave. But, I mean, I am going to deflect away because I absolutely got it wrong with this guy. This week, anyway, Dave, he can redeem himself, because you're right, it wasn't a complete bad guy arc at all. And we'll talk about that. Well, do you want to talk about it? Because this guy has been a red flag. And you talk about Celebs Go Dating, Dave. He's been on it. He dated Charlotte Crosby. He looks a lot different than what he did. But Brad, fuck me. He is an absolute narcissistical, controlling maniac, Dave. There is, from the get-go, the lovey-dovey stuff, you called it so right with Shona about how she's attracted to these sort of guys. It was so false. And what I did like was I loved the fact that when he did that speech, Dave, at the dinner party, every single one of the contestants was like, oh, shut the fuck up. Yeah. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, here he fucking goes. And my main guy from this one was Nathaniel. He was like, fuck me. Everyone can see through that. He's fake as fuck. But what a horrible, horrible man Brad is, Dave. And again, the fucking experts, no way they have sat there for 6 months and put these two together. How has Brad even got through the wellness test? He's absolutely an idiot, Dave. And so he's every red flag going. Just, oh, fucking. Yeah. It's so frustrating, Dave, to watch him.
You know what was, I was slightly heartened by though, Chris, because I often or periodically have had a bit of a rant about, you know, some controlling behavior not being called out, particularly on things like Love Island. You know, I thought Luca Bish, you know, some of his behavior on Love Island a couple of seasons ago was quite toxic, and that Jax as well. And they actually called it out here. Now, they didn't use the term coercive control, but, you know, they did call him out for some of the language that he was using. But Jesus Christ, he made it so obvious. Like, it was just ridiculously a textbook example, like, the way he's putting her down. And when they... It's bad enough at the dinner party, and I agree. I mean, he thinks he's some kind of wise old sage, doesn't he, that, like, can impart his wisdom on everyone. And he's just fucking got it out of a Christmas cracker or something. His advice, I just think he's so full of shit, but he loves the smell of his own farts. He's just a complete and utter knob. And I'm glad that he actually got called out on it. Because, you know, when he's talking about, I'll allow her to, you know, or do I need to teach her, you know, or do I just let it go? And, you know, again, he's trying to be all calm and everything. Chris, I thought it was actually a little bit chilling how he was being. Because you're thinking, well, you're seeing this on the TV and the experts can call him out. But how long has he been like this? You know, and you can imagine that he would just, he'll gravitate someone like a Shona who, you know, is flaky as fuck as well, by the way. I mean, again, I just feel like she would gravitate towards a Brad. I'd say like, oh, you know, my problem is I'd fall in love too fast. Oh, I totally love him. I totally love Brad. And why doesn't everyone else get it?
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, it's just the language that he was using was really troubling. Like I say, the only silver line into it for me was that he actually got called out for it. And, you know, other people at home can watch it and see it, you know, and this is not okay, this behavior.
No, it's not. And I thought it was weird that he had a conversation off camera with Laura, saying like Shona was immature. She's telling Shona, I'm like, well, what's going on here? How has Brad ended up in a conversation with Laura? I know when we've watched Maths in the past and they're all living in the same apartment block, they all go to the gym, don't they? Yeah, hence why Matt got with, what's the name last year? The
Whitney.
Whitney, yeah, got with Whitney and everything. So maybe it's that, but again, it was like...
Fucking weird for me to recall a name like that straight
off. Well, it's usually me, isn't it? You get somebody, you did well there. But no, it is. It's sort of like very strange for that conversation. And Shona was sat there, obviously upset. Didn't really tackle him on it, maybe because she was scared. And he's calling her immature and childish. And I'm like, and what gets me is, Dave, he's an absolute lunatic. I'm sorry, but they really, really need to keep an eye on this guy because the way he was talking, he was just like, well, yeah, well, you know, she's very, you know, you just need to think. And the way he talks, he's so calm and it's all fake and he's trying to be the nice guy and the way he puts Shona down. And I'm like, you are a simmering volcano of aggression without a doubt. Yeah. And that girl would be absolutely character assassinated by him if they stay together. But again, how has Paul, Mel and Charlotte, how have they even allowed this guy to get this far? Because he's part of a talent agency and they want a bit of drama. There is no way he should be with her as Portia shouldn't be with Terrence, two completely opposite people. I mean, he's even talking about the sex life, wasn't he? about how good it was. And I'm like, mate, shut up. You absolute maniac.
So, not to make light of all the stuff you just said there, however, I kind of want to know what they did. Because the way, like, other people were talking about it being shocking and stuff, it's like, huh, what was he up to there?
he's probably getting pegged, Dave, but I'll say no more than
that. Someone suggested that on the message boards.
Oh, like, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They're right as well. Yeah, but I mean, there's no videos, Dave. You know, I've not that looked. But yeah, he's just an odd character. And when he told us to shut up, you know, like the experts
twice,
and it was awful. Like, it was really bad. And he got the second time was very aggressive the way, and it sort of ended that episode the way it did. But I think the duty of care to put Shona through this, you know, this stuff probably going on we don't even see. It's all right having a Harrison on there, on the Aussie one. He was a complete narcissist, but literally, you know, Bronte wanted to stay on for the show. And I've talked about it nearly every episode we've done in the UK one. And she was there till the fucking very end, until she just couldn't take no more. Until there was no way, you know, that she was in the zeitgeist. She'd done so many episodes, the deals are going to roll in. Shona's not like that. This almost feels like when, what was he called? Now, if you get the name of this guy, the one on the Aussie one who was dead prim and proper, and that woman just, the one who's fought, Mel, wanted to absolutely just fucking pull his pants down at every opportunity and jump on him like a horse. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, remember him, Dave, and he had leaving, didn't he? He was so upset, and she tried to make it out. She apologized. And it's, again, they were not compatible. So why would you do that? I think what it is with me, I want the entertainment, but I don't want the entertainment at the expense of someone's mental health. And with Shona, it's gone beyond just putting it like Terrence and Portia together, where they're just completely two opposite scales of life. He's a party animal. She's 11 o'clock, you know, slippers and a cup of cocoa, and they're together. He's admitting he's cheating. And I'm not a big fan of Portia. However, you could sit there and go, well, these two shouldn't be together. But then they put Shona through because this guy they thought was going to be good TV, and now look where they are. And we're reading articles that are going to come out in the next couple of episodes about what potentially could happen. And I think that's the right thing. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone if you've not seen him. But the guy's a fucking idiot. And it's wrong to be in that situation on such a show.
I agree. The thing is, people like Brad, right? I don't know how many interviews they have to get onto maths, but I don't know. Do they do these deep psychological tests? How would they spot that he is a controlling fucking nightmare? You know, the footage that we see is very kind of superficial, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where, you know, they're sat with Paul or something, and they say, oh, yeah, and they'll give all their perspective about their history and whatever. So if the interviews are just that, and I'm sure there's, like, screening interviews before that as well, then I think it'd be hard to spot what a controlling abuser Brad is. I think I just don't know how you would pick that up. And I'm sure maybe, you know, if he has to fill in a questionnaire, you know, would it be like, oh, what would you do if someone, what if your partner was saying something at the dinner party that you disagreed with? Would you A, tell her to shut up, or would you B, just support her?
Yeah.
You know, he knows what the right answer is. In that, you know, kind of calm environment, to he knows what he should do, but then, you know, it's only through that kind of pressure cooker of the experiment that you see these controlling characteristics. I don't know if you maybe interviewed their exes, maybe, you know, that would be a thing to do to make sure you don't let characters like that on the TV. But I agree what you're saying about entertainment. That's not entertainment. Like, we like the kind of the drama and stuff. We like the conflict, but not fucking abuse.
No,
you know? And I haven't seen any of the. I'm assuming people are going a bit bonkers, you know, because I can imagine watching that is pretty triggering for a lot of people if they've been in kind of controlling relationships like that.
Yeah, I think so. I genuinely do. I think it was uncomfortable for me, Dave, watching it, you know, and
I don't know.
That guy has got some serious issues. He needs to have proper counselling. He needs to understand where he's gone wrong. There's a reason that he's been in various relationships and he's chasing this success train now. So he's going to be in this bubble of absolute, the biggest narcissists and egomaniacs you're ever going to see. Mm. It ain't worth it. It's just going to break. And I do think as well, though, Dave, if you flip it, I don't agree with anything he's done. I think it's completely wrong. But the show has a duty of care to him as well. They have to point out to him what he's done wrong and how that is wrong. They shouldn't have to. As a grown man, he should see that and self-analyze. But I don't think he's got the right people around him, or, you know, there's something there. So I'm just hoping that they support him as much as Shona deserves all the support and everything. There is a duty of care for him. And I'm not giving him a get out of jail card at all because he's an absolute bellend. But we've seen this before when people get absolutely levered on social media, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So let's hope that everybody comes out of this for the good. That's all I hope. I know it's a bit serious, but it was really, for me, it was really, really hard to watch that with him, I must admit.
It was. And let me just say that I agree with you about the duty of care, but clearly the mass production team don't give a shit. Because, you know, if rumor has it, you know, it's going to get a bit worse this coming week, then actually, they could have cut that shit out.
Yeah.
They could have actually, you know, said, look, this is unacceptable. You're off the show and we're not going to show you. We're not going to give you any exposure through this show. Go and get some fucking counseling and sort yourself out. That would have been probably an actual duty of care, but they're going to, I don't think about that angle. I think all of the duty of care stuff will be aimed in kind of Shona's direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see. And I'm sorry to bring it down, but I just wanted to sort of address that myself. So, good stuff, Dave. So what do you think, Chris, about... Go on, mate.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. So, Chris, what do you reckon to Ella and Nathaniel? Because I think it's simple. Fucking Nathaniel just isn't into Ella on any level whatsoever.
No, I agree. I think that he's come on it for the show, Dave. There's loads of questions with Nathaniel, there really is. And I think he's just on it for friends, isn't he? I think he's just on it to get a bit of exposure. He's on there. He likes everyone. He seems to be able to give good advice, but there's just nothing there. Ella's not going to find what she wants with Nathaniel at all. And Nathaniel, no. I don't really care. Doesn't really care, does he? And no matter what they say about the attraction, this, that, and the other, he's not interested, sadly.
Yeah, he's not interested at all. And I thought it was a bit tone deaf when he sat there and talking about, oh, yeah, I've been in love, I have, you know, and it was amazing. Like, can you just fucking tone it down a bit? Like, can you not realise that that's actually pretty hurtful because you're not showing Ella any interest whatsoever? And basically, you know, he's going on about how this great life, this great former love that he had was so, so good. You know, you can't make anyone feel good if you're trying to have a relationship with this bloke. What I would say, Chris, I mean, again, sticking on a slightly serious theme, I'd never stop to consider something that Nathaniel said. So when he's on the commitment couch, if you like, and he said he's 32 or 36? He was 30-something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, a 30-something bloke. And Ella, you know, a lot of her adult life has been about a transition. And I thought, fucking hell, that's hard, isn't it? I mean, obviously, I kind of know that it's hard, but never stop to actually think, you know, because this takes years. And, you know, to get to that point where you actually start going through that must have been quite hellish. But then also, you know, the surgeries and everything, you know, the healing from it must go on for years as well. So actually, I thought he hit a real nerve with her there. And, you know, she obviously kind of walked off crying and stuff. But I think he was kind of right. She needs to sort of stop and think, right, now I am Ella. I mean, it must be the best part of a decade, Chris, to go through that sort of thing. But this is just who I am now. So, you know, and start getting used to that. Whereas, like, a lot of getting to that point was you know, quite a journey, if you like. So I guess I think he's making excuses up, but there, talking about the differences in maturity, I actually think he probably had a point somewhere.
Yeah. And look, Dave, I think what can happen next then? I mean, if they're not compatible in that, then surely with the, you know, we're going to talk about the intruder, you know, couples coming in, maybe they're going to go.
The thing is, Chris, they get to that point, don't they, on maths, especially people like Nathaniel and Ella. And then they go, yeah, there's just nothing, absolutely nothing within this relationship. But I really like being on telly. So for that reason, I'm going to say stay. So, yeah, I think they obviously they did say stay and they're going to stick around as long as they can. Like, suffer each other, I think.
Yeah, true. So Laura and Arthur, Dave, Arthur wasn't there, was he? He's not very well at first. Everyone was like, oh, what's happened here? You know, we could see it coming and it wasn't. She just said he's not very well. Whether it's true and it's a bit of a play, I don't know. But, yeah, she seemed to be able to have to go and fend for herself then, not having that support of Arthur with her.
Yeah, and obviously the running with Luke and stuff like that, it must feel quite uncomfortable. She could have done with Arthur being there, but yeah, I don't know. It did cross my mind a little bit, conspiracy, you know, it could sort of make it up that he's ill. You know, I'm sure, have we not seen on maths before if someone's ill and like in bed? Bronte.
Bronte, yeah.
Ill, yeah. And we see her, whereas we didn't see any footage of Arthur at all. So it just made me wonder a little bit what's actually going on there. But yeah, according to her, everything's still going well. They love this storyline, don't they, about Arthur downloading something from the internet for his speech, you know, because he wrote in a note to say that he was going to stay, and people are like, ho, 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 I hope he didn't get it off the internet. Like, you're all right, fucking internet, you bunch of hypocrites.
very good. What about Thomas and Ros then, Dave?
I can't tell what the problem is with those two. It seemed to flip around, and I, you know, from day one, Chris, I haven't really taken to Thomas. He's done my head in a little bit, but you know, the blatant lies, and let's face it, in all of these shows, they're hypocrites, a lot of them. But he's saying, oh, yes, well, I am a touchy-feely sort of person normally. And I'm like, no, you're not. And no one called him out on it. Absolutely none of the experts said fucking anything. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm normally not like this at all, but, you know, it's all rods. And it's like, no, in week one, you wouldn't even hold her fucking hand. Don't bullshit that you're this touchy-feely character and Roz is so massively cold towards you. Like, the problem is all her. It's fucking not. Now, to be fair, I think what's seemingly happened there is, you know, they've obviously been intimate. She's not felt anything for him. I mean, he is a bit of a fucking drip, isn't he? So she's like, you know, and looking at the other couples, she's feeling like, oh, well, I was hoping I'd feel something from that. And, you know, I don't anymore. So she's just pulling back and pulling back. So, you know, she's not touchy-feely because she's like, she's not interested at all. So, yeah, it's just another couple that should go, Chris, but has decided they quite like being on TV. And so, you know, we'll stick around for a bit longer. But, yeah, fucking no chance, these two.
No, I agree. And I did think when they came into the dinner date thing that they looked like Tani and Ollie. And the Aussie one, Dave, very, very similar look from both of them when they came in. I was like, oh, I get it. The producers have gone for that look. They were like, they were the couple who were still together, one of the couples, and they were just nice all the way through, weren't they? Eventually, Ollie got a set of bollocks and started standing up to sort of Harrison. But this guy, he's fucking Prince Charles, he's fucking love child, Dave, and he's an absolute. And your impression was very good, actually, of the royal family, Dave. he was pretty good that. But yeah, he is. He's an absolute bell end, and she deserves more. She's got a lot of emotional baggage. You can see that when you're watching it. Like she just wants to be loved, doesn't she? And I don't think this guy's the one for it. Again, what is the fucking point? Just mix him in. You know what they should do? Like an FA Cup fucking draw. Get two people, fucking Paul and Charlene, and Mel can be the adjudicator. They get fucking eight balls in each hat and just pick a couple out of them. Because not they'd have more chance of making these couples last than what we've actually seen on the screen. I'm sorry, I don't believe any of these bollocks now.
You know, when I first started watching this thing, I was led to believe that there was all this kind of science and stuff involved, you know, that kind of matched these people, you know, and again, I still think one or two couples they might take seriously, but I've seen no evidence of any actual fucking science or, you know, there's the occasional bit of good advice and stuff. Like, you know, on the Australian one, Chris, when you've got Alessandra and she does the same fucking tricks though, doesn't she? You know, like the melted hug and stuff like that, the intense staring into each other's eyes. And, you know, so there are a few tricks in there to move things along a bit. But broadly speaking, you know, you could, who says they've not just chucked all these fucking couples into a massive tombola roller and then just pulled them out, and then it's a bit of an ad lib. It's like a, you know, improv, you know, the cameras roll in and right, why would we get these two together then? Oh, right. You know, and you can justify it. You know, you can argue why you would put any of these couples together in a positive way. But the fact that they just miss so many things, like you say, with Portia and Terrence, I mean, they seem to be getting on quite well, actually, don't they?
Came in very well, actually. Yeah, they look good when they came in.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the day, they're not in real life right now. So, you know, their normal schedules don't come into play. So, yeah, I can see that they might have the odd week there. But there's nothing with this couple at all. And you can see it. They're just completely incompatible lifestyles. So I just think, yeah, they're just thrown together. And sometimes just, you know, some of the couples, they're thrown together just to fuck with them.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the only ones I've got are now like off the Jay and Luke train, as I said before, but Tasha and Paul, Dave, they're the only ones who are genuinely normal about themselves at the moment. There's nothing about, they're not bringing drama. They are literally the Ollie and Tani of this series at the moment. They're just coasting along really well as a couple. And any little bump in the road, they address it like adults. Let's see, it may change. We know that, as I say, with my tremendous analysis of Luke on the last episode, it may go all tits up now. But at the moment, they're okay. So, Dave, the last episode. Yeah. Sorry, go on. Sorry.
No, I agree. They get the Ollie and Tani Award, don't they? At the moment, you know, it seems to be going really well. You know, they've kind of, unlike Shona and Brad, you know, they've not launched right into that lust phase. They've kind of built up. They've got to know each other. They've been together now, you know, intimately, and so it, just stepping through it. And actually, Chris, you know, I think Paul's advice mostly is not tip top, you know. However, I thought he gave some good advice when she was on the sofa, and she was obviously struggling with, you know, saying she could fall in love. Like Paul's, what's his name? You deleted it out of the notes now.
Who's that?
Like fucking the couple who's going well.
Tasha and Paul.
Paul. I thought it was Paul, but I'm like, I'm just thinking Paul from the expert Paul. But so Tasha's like obviously struggling with expressing how she felt. And then other Paul, you know, expert Paul was saying, well, how does he make you feel? And she said he makes her feel safe. And then so you'll just look at him and tell him that. I actually thought that was pretty good advice. I was like, fair play. I'll give you that one.
One. Dave, one out of 40 episodes. Yeah, we'll give him that. So what did you think there, Dave, of the intruder episode, which we're now going to get four couples. We're going to get eight new contestants. I always thought we just had two new intruders. We never actually had.
Yeah.
It's interesting they've gone down that route. I mean, Are they foreshadowing, Dave, the situation with Brad and a couple of others, Mayvell and Nathaniel? Are we going to see these OGs getting booted off? We don't know yet, because obviously we're up to date now, which is great. But yeah, I mean, to start with, Erica and Jordan, Dave, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, Chris, what is it with kids and this fucking haircut? This Jack Grealish, like, palm tree thing going on. What is the deal? I just think, personally, I think it looks ridiculous. He is a good-looking bloke. Sort your fucking hair out, and I'm sure he'd look even better. But he's definitely going for that Jack Grealish thing, isn't he? And, you know, she's obviously not got that great a relationship with her parents and stuff. I thought you could see why these two were put together. You know, you thought that personality-wise, they could match. Aesthetically, you know, stunning couple. And I think she was, it started to go the wrong way where he was just, I mean, he does seem a bit dull, to be fair, you know, and she can't really get a word in. And he's always talking about himself rather than, you know, asking a question about her. But I thought, again, you know, quite often you can tell with people what they're really like by their friends. So, yeah. You know, when you've seen in other reality shows, I'm thinking like Love is Blind with
Mike. Yeah, yeah.
And so I think, you know, the fact that her friends were so horrible, it was like, well, yeah, it probably says quite a lot about you. But I thought her friends gave some really good advice and were just like, you know, she was being really negative and her friends were just saying, look, just give it a chance. And she was saying, oh, his speech just went on. And friends were like, well, no, I thought it was pretty good. You know, there's lots of good stuff in there. And so they seemed to give her a good little pep talk. And then from there, it seemed like, you know, she gave him a bit more of a chance. And then it seemed to get better. And for the preview for next week, it looks like there's a bit of heavy petting in the pool there, Chris. So it's obviously going quite well on the honeymoon for them. So, yeah, I who knows? I think there might be some run-ins. But I think for Erica and Jordan, I think there might be something there.
Yeah, I hope so, Dave. Because I think, look, we need some proper love. And I think, like you say, having friends, Mike is a great example. Friends are just as toxic as her, to be honest, and just stroking her ego. But just moving on slightly, we've got Bianca and JJ. Now, Bianca, really, really good looking girl. JJ, if he was a fucking sweet Dave, he'd eat himself. He thinks he's a 10, but he's a fucking 3. And obviously, he was severely hurt by his supermodel ex-girlfriend. But he is sort of... He was trying to portray this story and I was sort of bought in. However, by the end of it, I was like, oh, you're a bellend as well. You know, lived in LA, you probably know who she is. No, we don't. We don't know anything. Bit suspect with the haircut, Dave. It does look like a Scotsguard. I won't lie to you. But not, I don't know, something slightly off with this guy.
I think it looks like Lego hair.
Yeah, it does.
You just need to take it off and like replace it with something else. Chris, you said it there. He thinks he's a 10. This guy thinks he's like fucking David Beckham or something. And it's like, because he's in fashion himself, I guess he's in and around lots of beautiful models and stuff. And I can imagine it's a pretty superficial environment to be in. You know, and not necessarily the most emotionally level kind of environment as well. I can imagine, you know, there's a lot of cheating going on. If Zoolander taught me anything, Chris. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I'd like to hear the other side of the story, but yeah, I'm not liking him at all. He definitely... I can't think of an example, another good example of someone with such an inflated opinion about themselves. And yet she just seems, you know, quite cute, quite, you know, quite lovely. And he's just not interested at all, you know. And so I don't even know if he's going to give her a chance, to be honest. And from the preview for next week, it doesn't look like he is. So, Could be one of those where, you know, the experts give him a bit of a prod and make him realize, well, this is why you're on the, well, this is the pretend reason you're on the show, because it hasn't worked before. You really just want your followers and stuff. But, you know, the pretend reason is that you haven't done a good job of choosing a person yourself. So, you know, that's why the experts, through science, Chris, of course, have matched you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. And Dave, to be fair, the VT was like, oh, yeah, we need next week to start straight away, because I am all in on this. I'm in now. It's took a while. I was questioning last week, but I am in now on this one. So anything else, Dave, before we go?
No, I think that's it. I think I'm kind of warming up to this this season as well. Even last season, I think it took a little bit to get going, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think we have our expectations set with the Australian one. That's still the king, isn't it? That's still, you know, straight off the bat with episode one, we've got the drama coming in there with Bronte and Harrison, I seem to remember. But this one's bubbling along nicely. Hopefully, you know, they boot out Brad fairly quickly and we can get some entertaining drama as opposed to the serious stuff. So, well up for next week, Chris.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. So if you want to email us, guys, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. As always, please go to Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. So, and also, if you want to support us, I nearly forgot about that, get over to patreon.com/cdrealitycast. So as I was going to say, the roll call of honour and a big thank you to all our supporters are Kent Gustafson, Lucky Lula Green, Lauren Susan, Dee Dee Katie, Libby Joanna, Noreen Chloe, Helen Keith, Gillian Zoe, Maggie Kate, Megan Cassie, Fiona Emma, Nicola Macy, Helen Larissa, Amanda Kim, Caroline and Danielle. So thank you so much, guys, for supporting us. And we'll see you soon. Over to you, Dave.
Thank you very much, sir. Thanks for that. I know it's a bit of a later one in the weekend, but we'll stick to our... We're caught up now, aren't we? So we can actually get into the weekly routine again. So thank you very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.